नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमः पंकज नाभाय नमः पंकज मालिने नमः पंकज नेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांघ्रये। Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord who has become the son of Vasudev, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here are some of the specific symbolical marks on the spiritual body of the personality of Godhead, which distinguishes his body from the bodies of all others. They are all special features of the body of the Lord. The Lord may appear as one of us, but he is always distinct by his specific bodily features. Srimati Kunti claims herself unfit to see the Lord because of her being a woman. This is claimed because women, Shudras and the labor class, and the Dvijabandhus or the wretched descendants of the higher three classes, are unfit by intelligence to understand transcendental subject matter concerning the spiritual name, fame, attributes, forms, etc. of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Such persons, although they are unfit to enter into the spiritual affairs of the Lord, can see him as the Archa Vigraha who descends on the material world just to distribute favors to the fallen souls, including the above mentioned women, Shudras and Dvijabandhus. Because such fallen souls cannot see anything beyond matter, the Lord condescends to enter into each and every one of the innumerable universes as the Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu, who grows a lotus stem from the lotus-like depression in the center of his transcendental abdomen. And thus Brahma, the first living being in the universe, is born. Therefore the Lord is known as Pankajanabhi. The Pankajanabhi Lord accepts the Archa Vigraha, his transcendental form, in different elements, namely a form within the mind, a form made of wood, a form made of earth, a form made of metal, a form made of jewels, a form made of paint, a form drawn on sand, etc. All such forms of the Lord are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, and there should be a soothing atmosphere in the temple of worship to attract the burning attention of the non-devotees always engaged in material wranglings. I repeat, all such forms of the Lord are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, and there should be a soothing atmosphere in the temple of worship to attract the burning attention of the non-devotees always engaged in material wranglings. The meditators worship a form within the mind. Therefore, the Lord is merciful even to the women, Shudras and Dvijabandhus, provided they agree to visit the temple and worship the different forms made for them. Such temple visitors are not idolaters, as alleged by some men with a poor fund of knowledge. All the great acharyas established such temples of worship in all places just to favor the less intelligent and one should not pose himself as transcending the stage of temple worship while one is actually in the category of the Shudras and the woman or less. One should begin to see the Lord from his lotus feet, gradually rising to the thighs, waist, chest and face. One should not try to look at the face of the Lord without being accustomed to seeing the lotus feet of the Lord. Srimati Kunti, because of her being the aunt of the Lord, did not begin to see the Lord from the lotus feet, because if Lord might feel ashamed. And thus Kunti Devi, just to save a painful situation for the Lord, began to see the Lord just above his lotus feet, that is from the waist of the Lord, gradually rising to the face and then down to the lotus feet. In the round, everything there is in order. Hare Krishna. Although I feel it not appropriate to speak on this occasion on the order of EC, Executive Committee, where there was a discussion on how to celebrate this day. And every time we have this confusion, how to celebrate this day in the most best way. And there is always discussion going on till the end, and ultimately someone is decided. And so it happened this year too. And I happened to be there. But it's such a, it is quadruply auspicious day today. It is the very auspicious beginning of the Chaturmasya. It is also the disappearance day of Srila Sanatana Goswami, the Sambandha Acharya of our Sampradaya, and which is celebrated in a very, very big way all over Vrindavan, where people go on parikrama much, much in number than even in during Govardhan Puja, to honor and respect this great personality. Today is also the day of Vyasa Puja, offering worship to Srila Vyasadev on the Purnima of Ashad month. And of course for all of us, very, very auspicious, because it is the appearance of their Lordship Shri Radha Gopinath 21 years ago. Now he is a full-fledged youth. Of course he is eternally like that. Never grows beyond 16, but officially 21. So, Kunti Maharani here is praying to the Lord, who is seeing Krishna face to face. As Krishna was leaving towards from Hastinapur to Dwarka, and as he had climbed on the chariot, Queen Kunti came and started offering her prayers. And these prayers are relished, recited, applied and preached since over 5,000 years throughout India. From great souls have taken shelter of these verses. And Srimati Kunti Devi is very nicely bringing out our situation when she is seeing Krishna face to face and praying to him. Namasye Purusham Twadyam Ishvara Prakrite Param alaksham sarvabhutanam antarbahir avasthitam. She understands who Krishna is. She is not under the illusion that he is my nephew, though he has appeared like that. Namasye purusham tu adhyam. First of all, she immediately says, you are a person, the ultimate person, the supreme personality of Godhead, which is the ultimate understanding of transcendence. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shuddhade. She knows this. Therefore, she is, her prayers are put in the Bhagavatam for all time to come. Vaishala Vyasadeva himself. So, namasye purusham to adhyam, and not any ordinary purusha, but adhyam, sarvakaran karanam, anadir adi govindam, and ishvara prakrite param. But you are a person who are beyond this material existence. Prakritehe param. And therefore, alaksham sarvabhutanam. You can't be seen by the general mass of people. Practically no one can see you. Because you are beyond this material existence. Though, antarbahir avasthitam. There is no place where you are not situated. Once a man approached a child and he said, I will give you one orange if you show me where is God. So the child was obviously Krishna conscious. He said, I will give you two oranges if you show me where there is not God or where God is not. So, alaksham, antarbahir avasthitam, is situated in the heart of every living entity, is situated in and between every atomic particle, andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham, as Brahmaji prays. But alaksham sarabhutanam, that's our situation. And then she says, why? Why can't we see? Maya javanika achannam, agnya adhoksha jamavyayam, nalakshase moodhadrisha nato natya dharoyatha. Say, maya javanika. There is a curtain, just like if you close the curtain, you can't see the Lord. So, there is a curtain. And what is that curtain? That curtain is right in front of our eyes. Say, subtle cataract. Subtle cataract of ignorance. Moodha drisha. And because of that, even though the Lord is everywhere, there is not a place where there isn't, we can't see Him. And not only see Him, but we have become averse to His service. So, maya javanika achannam, because of that. And therefore we say, Om ajnanati mirandasya jnananjana shalaka chakshu unmilitam ye tasmai shri guruve namah. So, the spiritual master is that representative of the Lord who actually opens or does the cataract surgery. Shalakaya, it's like an instrument by which the cataract is removed. Nato natya dharoyatha. It's like an actor. And a very good actor comes and acts. You don't recognize who he is. He acts and goes, and after that you're like, who was that? You're like, oh, achai, was that person? I thought he was something else. It's like that. Nato natya dharoyatha. And then she prays in the next verse. Tatha paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidhanartham katham pashyema hi striya. She says, tatha paramahamsanam, who can actually pashyema, who can actually see you? Only the paramahamsas. The hamsa or the swan has a quality of separating water from milk. It only takes the milk and separates the water. Similarly, in this world which is made of nothing but matter and spirit, a paramahamsa, he who knows the essence of everything, saragrahi, he accepts only the spiritual part and leaves out anything that is material from everywhere. Only he sees that and accepts that. Vidyavinaya sampanne brahmane shunichaiva sabhakecha pandita samadarshin. Such a person, only a spiritual person can see that. Yumam pashyati sarvatra sarvamcha mai pashyati. So that is the Paramahamsa. Only such exalted people can see you. Muninam, Amalatmanam, those who are completely pure in their heart, they can see. So this cataract is not just external, it's here. Avradam jnanametena jnanino nitya vairena. Because of the coatings, lust, anger, greed, envy, etc., we cannot see. Katham pashyema hi striya. He says, how can I, an unintelligent woman, see? But the amazing part is, she is seeing him. Seeing is not enough. As Mukunda expressed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during the Mahaprakash Leela. What is the use of seeing? Duryodhana saw you. Hiranyaksha saw you. Hiranyakashipu saw you. But when they saw, they had no devotion in their heart and therefore they tried to kill you. Capture you. Therefore, seeing means premanjana chaita bhakti vilochane. Seeing through the eye of devotion. Only such a person can see. And that begins with humility. So, what is the qualification to see the Lord? When you feel that you are not qualified to see the Lord. It's very simple. When you feel you are absolutely not qualified, then that is the beginning of our qualification. And the moment we feel we are qualified, that is the beginning of the end. Katham pashyema. She is seeing, but still she feels, I am not qualified. Seeing actually means surrendering. Because seeing means to see as it is. And what is the fact? The fact is, He is the Supreme Lord and we are His eternal servants. That's seeing. To see things in proper perspective. So, really see means to see things as they are. And what is the truth? The truth is, Jivar Sarupoy Krishna Nityadas. But we don't see. And therefore, in the next two verses, these beautiful verses that we read, she is saying how merciful the Lord is that He descends to attract our hearts and invite us in His devotional service for our benefit. And therefore she says, Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Just so that people may not misunderstand, she says, who is that person? Purusham Adyam. She says, Krishnaya. You, my Lord. But just to make sure, who is not an ordinary person. Many, many Krishnas may be there. Many people may be having that name. Just like in history you find Alexander I, Alexander II. So there may be many, 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 many. So, this Krishna, that Krishna, so many Krishna may be there. No. Vasudevaya. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanam vasudevam sarvamiti. You are that all-pervading Lord, the son of Vasudev. Oh, there may be many Vasudev. No. Devaki nandanaya. Mother's, father's name, address, everything is given. So that no confusion is there. Otherwise, sometimes telephone directory you see, you know, so many names. Then you have to see the address. And then you have to see, if you know the father's and mother's name, whether you have got the right person. So Devaki Nandanaya, Upanishad says, she is Devaki Nandan. And then he says, Nanda Gopa Kumaraya, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, all the cowherd boys, all the cowherd girls, so dear to them, Prajajana Ranjanam. That is the mercy of the Lord, that He descends and performs such wonderful and intimate pastimes with his devotees that anyone who hears them, janma karma chame divyam evam yuveti tatvata, if he hears them properly from a proper source, then very natural for him to be attracted. Therefore the Lord performs this very sweet pastimes. Today is Vyasa Purnima. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also celebrated this Vyasa Purnima once. Just after Nityananda Prabhu came back from Vrindavan, where he was waiting for the Lord to manifest his pastime and hid in the house of Nandan Acharya, Mahaprabhu explained to his devotees, I had a dream last night that one man, powerful personality, in blue cloth, with a blue turban, had come on a chariot decorated with a flag of a palm tree, and he had come to my house and asking, is this the house of Nimai Pandit? I said, yes, this is. He said, we shall meet tomorrow. So Mahaprabhu sent his devotees, they couldn't find, and later Mahaprabhu took all his devotees to the house of Nandan Acharya. This was the general hiding place. It's amazing. That was the regular hiding place, but no one could find out. They went there, and actually, that was, beautifully it is described how Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu met for the first time, and the interaction that took place. After some time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the eve of Vyas Purnima, on Chaturdashi, he told Nityananda Prabhu, he said, tomorrow is Vyas Purnima, how should we celebrate your Vyas Puja? And Nityananda Prabhu, understanding the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, said, he pulled the house, hand of Srivas Pandit, and he said, we will celebrate in his house. Mahaprabhu said, Srivas, big responsibility is on your head now. Srivas said, it's my good fortune, my Lord. I am so happy. It's my blessing. All the ingredients are ready. I just need to get the book which describes how to celebrate this. That's all. All the details. Because he was a pakka, he knew all the details of how to worship. He's Narada Muni after all. Narada Pancharatra, he wrote. So he said, I'll just get the book and we'll do it. Mahaprabhu was so pleased by the enthusiasm of Srivas Pandit. And he says, all right. And immediately he took all the devotees along with Nityananda Prabhu to have Adivas Kirtan on the eve of the Vyas Puja. So he went as if it was like Krishna and Balaram walking with all the cowherd boys to the house of Srivas. And as soon as they went inside, he said, lock the doors. The only intimate devotees were allowed. They locked the door and they started, Mahaprabhu started the kirtan. And the kirtan went wild. Some were rolling and crying. Mahaprabhu's feet was touching his head sometimes. It was as if the earthquake is coming whenever Nityananda Prabhu would jump and fall to the ground. And sometimes the clothes would totally fly off. His danda and his kamandulu flew off. And in this way they were dancing. And suddenly, to glorify Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into the mood of Balaram and he sat on the Simhasan, which was meant for Vishnu. He sat there and he said, bring me wine. Devotees were shocked. Bring me wine. I said, wine? They were confused. Then he looked at Nityananda. He said, give me your plow and your club. And Nityananda Prabhu just did the action of bringing it and giving it as if he had it in his hand. Many devotees didn't see. They just saw Nityananda Prabhu keeping his hand on Mahaprabhu's hand. But actually, some of the very fortunate souls saw Nityananda Prabhu actually handing his club and plow to Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu, equipped with that, started shouting, Varuni, Varuni. Devotees were confused what to do, and ultimately one fellow ran and brought Ganga water in a pot. And Mahaprabhu, as if it was wine, he just drank it fully. And he was totally intoxicated. Because there is no virtual reality for the Lord. Everything is absolute. He took it and he was absolutely intoxicated. In the mood of Balaram. And he started shouting, Nada! Nada! Nada? People were confused. Who is this Nada? And then nobody understood. And then Mahaprabhu said, the people whom you call, the person whom you call Advaitacharya, he is Nada. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, in Radha Desh, they call it Nada, but it's actually Nara. Narayan, the source of all living entities. He said, on his request, I have come into this material world to deliver all the fallen conditioned souls by distributing love of Krishna through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And I shall distribute it to everyone and anyone except those who are puffed up because of too much of pride of high birth, janma, aishwarya, shuta, shridhir. As Kunti Maharani says, edhamana madah puman, ever increasing intoxication by material qualifications, he says, they shall not get. And then he said, in this way he glorified the Advaitacharya and subtly indicated the reason for his appearance. Mind you, this is the first time Mahaprabhu has come back from Gaya and is exhibiting all of this. They didn't know. And he expresses that. And after that, Mahaprabhu became sobered. He came back and he told his devotees, did I speak something abnormal or something? I hope, you know. And everyone smiled and says, no, my Lord, whatever you spoke was perfect. What can we say? You are absolute and whatever you speak is absolute. There is no question of it being anything else. So then, after that, he begged forgiveness for his restlessness. Sometimes he says, I become restless, don't worry. And the devotee smiled. And after this, Nityananda Prabhu became extremely restless. And he started jumping and all. Ultimately, Mahaprabhu had to pacify him. And they all went home to their respective homes. Nityananda Prabhu stayed back in the house of Shivas. And at night, suddenly got up, started dancing in the middle of the night. And broke his danda and his kamandalu. Kamandalu is made up of this ash gourd. So he broke it. So Ramai Pandit, who was the brother of Shivas, he says, the next day morning he saw all broken pieces of danda and kamandalu. So he told Shivas, Shivas said, go and inform Mahaprabhu. We can't just now, he has come and you know, it's unpredictable, you find out. So Mahaprabhu came and picked up all the pieces, along with Nityananda and all the devotees, went to the Ganga and threw all that pieces of danda and kamandalu inside the river. And Nityananda Prabhu again became restless. He wanted to take bath in the Ganga. He saw some alligators and jumped on them. So Gadadhar Pandit and others shouting, alas, what is happening? Ultimately, Mahaprabhu could only control him. He says, Nityananda Prabhu, come, it's your Vyas Puja. So he sobered and he came. And then they went. And it is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat that after the whole puja was over, they handed him a garland. Shivas Thakur handed him a garland to be offered to the photograph of Vyasadeva, the picture of Vyasadeva. And they said, now please offer obeisances and prayers and offer this garland to Vyasadeva. And Nityananda Prabhu said, so be it, so be it. And he was murmuring something in himself and just standing, looking all around. Two times, three times, ultimately Shivas went to Mahaprabhu and he said, you tell him I can't understand what he is, why he is not doing. Mahaprabhu came to him and says, Nityananda, just do what you are told. Offer this garland to Vyasadeva. And Nityananda picked up that garland and put it on the beautiful lotus-like neck of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And immediately Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his six-handed form, Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, and the two hands holding the the club and the plow of Nityananda Prabhu, of Balaram. And Nityananda Prabhu fell down unconscious. And Mahaprabhu started glorifying Nityananda Prabhu. He says, without the mercy of Nityananda, no one can ever get my mercy. And he said, anyone who worships me but disrespects Nityananda will be never be able to achieve my mercy. And in this way he started glorifying. He is Lakshman. In spite of the fact that he left his home, he left everything to serve Lord Ram, but he was never satisfied. He wanted to serve more. Even though in his next incarnation he came as Balaram, the elder brother, but his service attitude never went. He says, Nityananda is the personification of service. In spite of from incarnation to incarnation, any role he may play, but his only mood is one of service. Not even a fraction of a second passes in his eternity, where he never has this service to the Supreme Lord. His existence is simply service. He is Sevak Bhagavan, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains. There is Sevya Bhagavan, that is Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and there is Sevak Bhagavan. So, in this way, the whole pastime went, but the point that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur makes, and then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified the Vaishnavas. After glorifying Nityananda Prabhu, he also started glorifying the Vaishnavas. And then he made a very interesting statement, which is why I am explaining this pastime. He said, those who worship the Lord and neglect his devotees or offend the devotees, those who worship the Lord and give pain to even ordinary living entities, they are like people who fall down at the feet of a Brahmana and pick up a stick and beat on his head. They can never please me. In fact, they will go to hell. He says, those who worship the Supreme Form, the form of the Supreme Lord, and in this way, in various ways, he glorified the Vaishnavas. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, at the end of all this, culmination of this, he says, in this way, the Lord, and this through particular pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime is nothing but the total desire of the Lord to reciprocate and serve and glorify his devotees. And the whole pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita of the devotees, their whole life and their existence is nothing but to glorify the Supreme Lord. This is what Vedic scriptures are all about. Vyas, the compiler of all the Vedic literature, is basically giving these three things, Sambandha, Videya and Prayojan. What is our relationship with the Supreme Lord? How to revive it? And what is the Prayojan, what is the perfection of that? To develop love of Krishna. Because then there is love, then there is service. And the more you serve, the more there is love. The more there is love, the more you want to serve. So in this way, Mahaprabhu's Leela is nothing but that. If you read Mahaprakash Leela, Mahaprakash Leela is simply the Lord, the devotees had unlimited desire to please the Lord. But the Lord was never accepting because he had come in the mood of a servant, in the mood of a devotee. But once only, or sometimes, he would accept the mood of Vishnu and he sat on the
asana of Vishnu, and he accepted tons and tons of food, you know, thousands of bananas. He would eat and say, more, bring me more. Ganges water, he would drink gallons and gallons and still ask for more. Devotees were ultimately exhausted. They tried everything. Thereon, ultimately they offered their, folded their palms and said, my Lord, within your belly is the whole universe. What all can we bring? Please be satisfied with all we had offered. Mahaprabhu was very much pleased. So he completely satisfied. The Lord is unlimited. And what is our desire to serve? If he wants, he will fully satisfy. Ultimately, we fall short. After fulfilling the desires of, satisfying the devotees and accepting their heart's desire to serve him, then he started reciprocating. One by one, he called all the devotees and exposed their hearts, feelings, for all time, for all the world to know, by asking them, ask what you want. Showing them first their worshipable Lord's form, and then asking them. And all the things, the only thing that these devotees asked was, I don't want anything else. None of them asked anything for themselves. Some gurus asked, all my disciples, make them Krishna conscious. Some people said, my parents don't allow me to come for kirtan, please, make them devotees. And he glorified all these exalted devotees, Haridas Thakur, Advaita Acharya. So in this way we find the whole of Chaitanya Leela is nothing but that. And in the beginning of that, that particular pastime, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur makes a very interesting statement regarding this whole incident of Vyasa Puja. And he talks about what is this Vyasa Puja or worshipping the personality of Vyasadeva. He says the real meaning of Vyasa Puja is to take shelter at the lotus feet of an Acharya. That is actually the significance of celebrating this day. It is the beginning of worshipping the Acharya throughout the year. It's not like the Mayavadis, only once in a year. And after some time they themselves become the Lord to be worshipped. No, but this is, we do it every day. We begin our Mangal Aarti by glorifying the spiritual master. We offer Prabhupada Guru Puja every day. We worship every day actually. We surrender our lives every day. And the real thing he says, Sri Guru Padapadme Padyarpanam. At the lotus feet of the spiritual master, we offer all the ingredients. The process by which it is made known that the inner desire of spiritual master is to properly serve the Lord. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says. This is what surrendering to the spiritual master means. The process by which it is made known that the inner desire of spiritual master is to properly serve the Lord. Therefore, Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Sri Chaitanya Mano Abhishtham Sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupah kada mayam dadati swapadantikam. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, give me shelter under his lotus feet? So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, the ideal offering for Vyasa Puja, what is the ideal offering? Sri Rupa Goswami prescribed for his followers the entrance to the most merciful Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes of distributing love of Krishna as the remedy for curing the disease of aversion to the service of the Lord. What is the disease? The disease is aversion to the service of the Lord. We all want to be the Lord. That's why we are all here in this world. And what is the remedy? The most merciful Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes of distributing love of Krishna. Namo Mahavadanyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to distribute pure love of Krishna. Actually, the nature of the soul is to have unending, unlimited, pure loving reciprocation. To love and be loved. If you think with a cool head, why are we trying to acquire all these things? Whatever we are trying to do, we want that loving relationship. That's the big opulence. If you can even have one person who loves you unendingly, unlimitedly, and absolutely without any expectation. In this world, basically, it's a business deal. Therefore, we don't find it. And therefore, we are not satisfied. People are not satisfied in this world. In spite of the fact that they have everything, they're dissatisfied. Because that relationship is lacking. Material love. Whatever it is, however great, however worshipable by material poets and literary scholars, how they glorify material love. But if it doesn't end before death, if they are fortunate, it doesn't end before death. Otherwise, it ends at death, ultimately. Or, it is not unlimited. Our expectations are unlimited. Nobody is able to fulfill that. And always there is some expectation from the other side in reciprocation. And therefore, we can never find satisfaction. The only satisfaction that we can ever find is this love, of pure love for Krishna. Therefore, the Lord descends and comes with His abode, Vrindavan. And what is Vrindavan? This is a place of pure love and trust. Absolute love and trust. Think about it. The person whom you love the most is the person you trust the most. And the person you trust the most is the person you love the most. And in Vrindavan, only those people are given entrance whom the Lord loves the most and He trusts them the most. Because He knows they have no other desire than to please Me. And therefore, He has no other desire than to simply reciprocate their love and please them. And He does all these wonderful pastimes simply to enhance and increase their love. That's all these beautiful pastimes are all about. And that storehouse of love, when Mahaprabhu came, He broke open the dam of love of God. Not only did they relish the Panchatattva, but profusely flooded the whole world. So much so that no one could escape. Everyone was forcefully drowned in it. Forcefully drowned in it. And whoever escaped, Mahaprabhu made techniques, various means to catch them also. To make sure that they are drowned. Sometimes there is a flood here and people go by helicopter to save. But this is a different kind of drowning. If you don't drown here, you will drown elsewhere. Namo Pankaja Nabhaya. Lord's lotus navel. Nabhi. All of us also have a Nabhi. And some of us may have, which resembles like a lotus probably. But what does this navel indicate? That we have a material mother. And we were connected with the umbilical cord which was cut and some remnant is left. But the Lord's navel is not like that. Our navel represents that we had a mother and father who were totally dependent upon at one time. But the Lord's navel shows that He is the mother and father of everyone. From where? Padmanabha. The lotus came of Narayana, Padmanabha. And there, all the living entities manifested. That shows that He is the Pitahamasya Jagato Mata Dhata Pitamaha. He is the father of every living entity. He can give the ultimate shelter. He can give the ultimate satisfaction and nourishment to every living entity. Namo Pankaja Malini, the beautiful garland of lotus flowers. Namo Pankaja Netraya, He has beautiful eyes like a lotus flower. All of you know the wonderful story of Shripad Ramanujacharya, how he was once, there was a beautiful procession in Srirangam going, and everyone was watching the beautiful lotus form of the Lord. And here was one man, a wrestler, who was literally walking backwards, holding an umbrella on a beautiful lady who had very beautiful lotus-like eyes. Actually, that's what he thought. And he was walking, and Ramanuja was surprised by this behavior. He was oblivious to the whole fact that, you know, thousands of people are watching the Lord. He was absorbed. Fully absorbed. So Ramanuja took pity on this person and he called him. Somehow they distracted him from that and brought him. So Ramanuja said, "What is it? What were you doing? The Lord is watching. What are you doing?" He said, "I am totally surrendered to these eyes." He said, "I have never seen a better couple of eyes like this." Ramanuja said, "If I show you a better couple of eyes, will you surrender to that?" He said, "Absolutely. I am a lover of lotus eyes." So Ramanuja said, "All right, come to Srirangam tomorrow. Come to the Ranganath temple tomorrow morning." And he came. And then Ramanuja started glorifying Ananta Padmanabha, Sri Ranganath, who is lying in his beautiful form there. And he started glorifying the beautiful form of the Lord. Pankaja Nabhaya, the glory of his navel. Pankaja Malini, the beautiful lotus flowers that he wears. And Namo Pankaja Netraya, his eyes. His eyes are not like the eyes of this world. As Prabhupada writes in this beautiful purport, I would like to just read this. This is important. Sometimes, all the great acharyas established such temples of worship in all places just to favor the less intelligent. And one should begin to. All such forms of the Lord are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers. There should be a soothing atmosphere in the temple of worship to attract the burning attention of the non-devotees always engaged in material wranglings. The burning attention. The eyes of this world doesn't soothe your heart, but burns the heart with lust. But the Lord's eyes are potent. Sa aikshata sa srijata. When He glances, things happen actually. He can create the whole universe simply by His glance. And when He glances on someone, His cycle of birth and death is finished permanently. That is the difference between the glance of people of this world and the glance of the Supreme Lord. Pankaja Netraya. That's why that lotus eyes. Namaste Pankajangrai. And inspired by that, we should actually serve the Lord. So, this is the wonderful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Rupa Goswami is saying that this is the disease, aversion to the service of the Lord. And what is the remedy? The most merciful Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes of distributing love of Krishna. Not only Mahaprabhu released the floodgates, he relished and he distributed it also. And Rupa Goswami, as a doctor, has prescribed for all of us, his followers, Rupanugas, this same medicine. That is, relishing this love of God ourselves and trying to distribute it. But in the process of distributing, we also get the benefit. Enechi aushadhi maya nashibara lagi harinama mahamantra laotuni magi. So, this is in that parampara of Srila Vyasadeva, ultimately Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Vyasa, therefore Nityananda Prabhu garlanded him. He is the original Guru, Adi Guru, Nityananda Prabhu, but he was showing who is actually the Vyasadeva, real Vyasa. Vedaisha sarve ahameva vedyo vedanta krit. He is the compiler of the Vedas, actually. Vedavid evachaham. He is to be known by the Vedas. And so therefore, that is the purpose of all these acharyas in this sampradaya. So, 26th of July, the next to next Sunday, is the day, way back in 1966, Srila Prabhupada established the society, incorporated ISKCON. And he wrote down the seven purposes of ISKCON. And one of them, I would like to just read one of the seven. He says, to erect for the members and for society at large a place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Krishna, where people can be their burning attention of those who are unaware of the lotus eyes of the Lord can be somehow attracted, and they can be attracted. The atmosphere should be so soothing that people can actually come here and feel sheltered, feel inspired, feel satisfied, feel nourished. And by Srila Prabhupada, by the Lord's inconceivable mercy, even this particular temple has manifested in the holy dham of Mumbai. Now you may laugh. People call it Maya Nagari. Why am I saying it a holy dham? Because Lord Ramchandra has come here. Since Treta Yuga, this place is a holy place. Just close by is Banaganga, where Lord Ramchandra came and with his own hands, lotus hands, made a beautiful shivaling of sand, Valukeshwar. And since Ganga was not there because Hanumanji delayed, he shot an arrow, and from the Patala Loka, Bhogavati came, Ganga. Sweet water, right in the midst of this salty sea, all the three. Surprising. That means Lord Ramchandra came here. He must have walked like this. Via Chaupati. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here. Dvaipayani, it mentions, Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions. Once we had a Harinam, a few years back we had a Harinam to Banaganga, and Maharaj was, Radhana Swami Maharaj was doing his kirtan, and suddenly during the thing he was telling that Mahaprabhu came to Dvaipayani, Bombay, and he was visiting all the holy places, so he must have visited Banaganga. And another time on a Sunday feast he said, while visiting Banaganga, he must have walked through this and danced in Chaupati here. So wherever he danced, that place became holy, and eventually temples manifested. Srila Prabhupada was here. Even in the late 30s, there was this Gaudiya Math here, right across Nana Chowk, where Prabhupada would come and help with other two devotees. He would get people, and somebody would speak, and somebody would do kirtan, and then in this way, collection for building a nice temple and facility there. So much so, Prabhupada was so efficient in doing all these things that they requested, the devotees here requested Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he should become the temple president. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, no, let him just do. When time comes, he will do everything. And later, in the early 70s, we came to know through Shyam Sundar Prabhu's revelation, he came to Vidya Bhavan, Bharati Vidya Bhavan, and standing on the footsteps with his stick, he just pointed in this direction and he said, we should have a temple in this neighborhood. Satyam vidhatum nijabhritya bhashitam. Bhagavat says, when a pure devotee speaks something, to prove the word of his devotee right, the Lord manifested even from the pillar. So, what is a devotee's desire? Does he desire for himself? Did he want one more edition that I have 108 temples or 109th one? His only desire was, why only North Bombay, only South Bombay should also be delivered? It's simply how people can be delivered. Intelligent people in India should be given this opportunity. That was Mahaprabhu's mission. Mahaprabhu's mission was there. Prithivite Achyajata Nagarati Gram Sarvatra Prachar Bharat Bhumite Haila Manusha Janmaja Janma Sarthak Kari Karu Parupakar. So it is not by chance that this thing has come about. And by the inconceivable mercy of Krishna, Prabhupada chose a suitable servant to run this or establish this in Cross Maidan in Mumbai itself. Picking up somebody among the 20,000 people, calling that person and asking him to sit on the stage. And later somehow by Krishna's inconceivable plan, that personality happened to go to New Vrindavan, and from there, in the mood of servant of the servant of Prabhupada, instructed by him to come and help in establishing this place. And we cannot speak of the deities without speaking of the devotees. We cannot speak of the devotees without speaking of the deities. They are inseparable. You cannot speak of Radha Rasbihari without speaking of Srila Prabhupada. You can't speak of the deities along with, otherwise it is doing injustice. So when we glorify the deities, we also should glorify all the devotees, sincere devotees of the Lord, who have given so much of their life's energy, time, effort to provide this a pleasant atmosphere, as it is said here, to create a very pleasant and soothing atmosphere to attract the burning attention of the conditioned souls to come and actually take shelter and actually take full advantage of the Pankaja Netraya, the lotus-like glance of Shri Radha Gopinath. So, we have requested His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj to address us and give his message, which will follow very soon, around just 5 minutes from now. So, Srila Prabhupada, when he actually wrote this in 1966, he wrote the whole format or the purposes for which he wanted to establish the society. At that time there were hardly any people. He was alone. There was a small little storefront in New York, 22nd Avenue. And there were, you know, in the morning for Bhagavatam, just 10-15 people would come. And hippies, you know, they're just drifters. They would come and then just sit there and sometimes like a zombie just watching and totally, you know, intoxicated and then just go away. Some decided to stay just because free lodging was available and food was available. But the only condition was they should get up in the morning for Mangal Arati. Some didn't even want that, but at least two decided to stay back. So like that, with that kind of people, Srila Prabhupada one day called one lawyer, one of them knew a lawyer, he called the lawyer and he made the whole, and they needed to sign the trustees. Trustees for the first year, who will change to second year and third year. A couple of, nine trustees were required. So Prabhupada gave a class. After the class, the lawyer was sitting, he called him, so you can sign up. And he went around, he says, so I'm established, you know, this established society is being established. And many of them, some were like well-wishers, they said, we want to help the Swami. Mukunda Maharaj, at that time not initiated, he was Mike. So he said, he was also there, he said, I want to help, he didn't even read what the, he said, yeah, we want to help this person. As Malati Mataji was telling once, she said, when we first saw him, we couldn't understand a word of what he was saying. He was highly so accented, Bengali accent was there. And not only the language, but even the words that he was so foreign to us. Transcendental. Material modes. Very difficult to understand. So the language and the personality, everything. But she said, one thing we knew for sure, this person has not come to cheat us. This person simply wants our welfare. That these people knew for sure. That he simply wants to give us something. And he has no expectation in return. Therefore, they were so much attracted, even though they didn't understand anything. This is a fact. A beautiful atmosphere in the temple, beautiful decorations may attract people in the beginning, but cannot make them stay for long until they see Vaishnav qualities and Vaishnav relationships. All these wonderful facilities may attract people, but what will actually sustain them in the long run is when they see Vaishnav qualities and Vaishnav relationships. And therefore, all the effort to manifest those qualities. Of course, once who has love for Krishna, then all other good qualities manifest. That's the nature of the great devotees of the Lord. When we come to the temple, one thing is, we see the beautiful form of the Lord which pacifies our heart. But also the purpose of the temple, as Prabhupada writes here, is to systematically propagate the knowledge of Krishna as taught in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. To hear, we also see through our ears, and when it touches our heart, it gradually transforms. Gradually creates a taste, and the taste for other things gradually go off to the extent this taste arises. So much energy, endeavor, whole people's life has been put here to create such an environment. And if at all we are grateful for what we have received, the only way we can reciprocate is first of all to take full advantage of what this society has to offer, sincerely apply it to the best of our ability in our own lives, and try
to actually share with as many people as possible. Because as it is expressed here, if you simply worship the Lord and not have deep loving relationships with the devotees, and simultaneously not share with those who have no access, the unfortunate souls who have no access, in some way or the other, Srila Prabhupada also writes in the last one, he says, with a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, we'll see, the first purpose he says, to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large. To systematically propagate. Preaching doesn't mean simply sermonizing. Preaching also means practically everything. Extending oneself to give Krishna, the knowledge of Krishna and Krishna prema to others. To propagate spiritual knowledge of society at large and to educate all people in the techniques of spiritual life. In order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. We have to actually present a role model. Unless there is peace and unity here, how can there be there? How can you promise outside? And they come and say, I like your proposition. But I don't think it makes sense until they actually see things working. To propagate a consciousness of Krishna as it is revealed in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And the third one, to bring the members of the society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity, thus to develop the idea within the members and humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead Krishna. To teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy name of God, as revealed in the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I already, as I said, to erect for the members and the society at large a holy place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Krishna. To bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler and more natural way of life. And finally, with a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books and other writings. So this is the purpose that Srila Prabhupada envisioned this society. And because of the sincere endeavors of his followers, we are able to take advantage of this wonderful facility. So, on this day, you know, that's actually, we can't understand. We are like the Dhanurdas. We are all like that fellow, you know, in Srirangam who was amidst all, everyone is absorbed and, you know, we are oblivious. We are all like that. Looking at the face of Maya, totally surrendered. Pankaja Nabhaya, looking at the navel region. Shankaracharya says, that's what attracts Nabhi Desham. Pankaja Maline, Namo Pankaja Netraya and Pankaja Angraye, surrender to that feet of Maya Devi. But by the powerful Acharya, by their pity, by their compassion, by their love, they somehow, wonderful ways they manufacture or think of, creative ways to distract us from that and inspire us to actually take shelter of the Lord's beautiful form. And these forms are actually revealed to us when we hear. Otherwise we can't appreciate. Anyone walks in, cannot understand this. Only Ramanujacharya prayed for that person and enlightened that person about the glory of this beautiful eyes, the glory of this beautiful form. Only then we can actually see. Otherwise we can't. Therefore, similarly, the powerful Acharyas, not only they establish such a oasis in the desert, but also invite somehow by creative ways and means to attract and make us drink for our nourishment and satisfaction, to quench the thirst for that love that we are seeking. Unending, unlimited, pure love
for which we are all desperately looking for in the wrong place. So they are attracting us. But now our job is to actually take advantage, stay fixed, and then share as much. Become an instrument of His compassion, the Lord's compassion, and the pure devotee's compassion, and share with as many people. That would be the best birthday gift we can give to Gopinathji. Today is his birthday, 21st birthday. So, what can we give? What he has given, we give, that's all, to others. But for that you have to have. If you don't have, what can you give? So, therefore we pray that we can take full advantage and share with others as much as possible. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, Shri Lalita Vishakha Devi ki. Nitai Gaur Premanande. So now, we will hear straight from Chicago the message from His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutalai Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschita Desha Karine Vansha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhubya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare I am very grateful for the opportunity to be a part of today's celebration in Sri Sri Radha Gopinath's appearance in Chapati, Mumbai. In our Sampradaya, the worship of the deity has been performed by many of our greatest acharyas. Madhvacharya worshipped Udupi Krishna, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Jagannath, Rupa Sanatana and the six Goswamis worshipped their deities. And all of the acharyas of our line have their beloved deities still worshipped today. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada worshipped Radha Govinda as a child and later established temples all over the world. In the line of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, and for their pleasure, Radha Gopinath were invited to accept our efforts of devotional service. How they have blessed our devotees in life and in death is a beautiful pastime. Devotees from simple villages, from passionate cities or materialistic colleges have been transformed into exemplary Vaishnavas and empowered preachers. Like Touchstone, Srila Prabhupada and the devotees have performed this miracle. We must always remember that the source of all love and all mercy is Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and they have kindly appeared in our own intimate family as Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, just to accept our love and shower their compassion upon all of us. The beautiful community of Radha Gopinath Temple has arisen around their lordships. This beautiful community is a blessing not only to all of us, but to the whole world. Devotees have come together at times of the greatest needs as instruments of Radha Gopinath's love. I am remembering Abhiram Thakur, Mehru Devi, Chaitanya Ballabha Prabhu, Shama Sundari Devi, Stoka Krishna Prabhu, and all of the other exalted souls who have departed from this world in such divine consciousness, and all of the devotees who have prayed for them and served them with their hearts and souls. I am remembering devotees passing through serious life crises who gained hope, relief, and who grew spiritually due to the loving services and personal support of Radha Gopinath's devotees. I am remembering the amazing festivals and yatras which have united and surcharged all of us with deep realizations of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's priceless gift of Prema Bhakti. I am remembering a small group of confused and rejected devotees in a dilapidated, rat-infested single room, and how it is transformed into a magnificent temple, mirroring the Goswami's temples in Vrindavan, and now overflowing with thousands of blissful, empowered Vaishnavas, all intimately united at the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Now, the Bhaktivedanta Academy for Culture and Education is now systematically educating our congregation. The Radha Gopinath Media Services are distributing CDs and videos all over the world. Gopal Fund School, the Value Education Program, the Public Relations Department, Book and Tape Ministry, and I'm remembering how a garbage dump filled with gravel and trash transformed into the Vrindavan forest. I am remembering a few medical students wondering if they should continue studies or join the ashram, and how they have transformed into creating the amazing Bhaktivedanta Hospital. I am remembering a few counselors concerned about their children's future, and a little girl named Ruchi who likes to teach smaller children with her little sister Sweta, and how it has all transformed into Gopal's garden. I am remembering a desire to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's wish for an agricultural community, and how his pleasure, Govardhan Farm is manifesting. I am remembering a phone call from my godbrother for Radha Gopinath Temple to help Pune, where the temple was in a serious disaster, and how over the years it has become an inspiration for all the world. I am remembering brahmacharis and grihasthas who returned to their native places, or were inspired to expand Lord Chaitanya's mission in other places, and how in an organic, natural way, dynamic centers arose in Belgaum, Kurukshetra, Kolhapur, Nigri, Nasik, Satara, Aurangabad, Baramati, Parabhani, Nanded, Goa, Latur, Palghar, and other such places. I am remembering when we could hardly even get Srila Prabhupada's books, and how by your enthusiasm, our book distribution has soared to one of the top 5 temples and book distributions every year. I am remembering how one devotee and how it has expanded to feeding over 100,000 children a day and gained public praise. I am remembering 4 counselors who all couldn't understand the point of a counselor system, and how it has grown into almost 100 counselors with thousands of counselees, and has been invited to inspire and set up the system in some of the most important centers in the world. I am remembering how my mother and father and the relatives of my godbrothers were spiritually transformed by the association of all of you, something that could never happen anywhere else. I am remembering Gopinath Prabhu and Parijata Devi, who stunned the worldwide Vaishnava community with their unprecedented offering of love last year. I am remembering the early devotees such as Srinathji Prabhu and Maithili Devi, Krishna Chandra Prabhu and Radha Priya Devi, Mahaprabhu and Palika, Sahadev and Suchitra, Radha Krishna Palika, Radha Giridhari, and Brinda Priya, Keshava and Namamrita, and all the original medicals, and Janava, and all of their families, and Krishnananda, Govinda, and Devamrita Prabhus, and all of the other early devotees who have remained faithful through thick and thin over the years. And most of all, I am remembering each and every one of you who are so dear to my heart and who are my life and my soul. On this very special day, I offer my sincerest gratitude to all of you. It is your wonderful devotion that has attracted Sri Sri Radha Gopinath to perform all of these and many more divine pastimes. Srila Prabhupada is smiling upon each of you, showering the flowers of his heartfelt blessings. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.